There's been a demand from many of you for a very long time that we should talk about the Varanium port crisis in Kerala. Now, the reason it's taken some time is that I've been diffident because my own knowledge, my basic domain knowledge of the maritime issues is very, very limited, if at all. Now, what is littoral? What is a draft? Right? What is a contour, depth? All of that. Even if I Google, I get confused. And then if I do the best thing, which is not even looking at Google, which is calling somebody from the Navy or somebody from the Merchant Marine, by the time they explain it to me, I lose track because there are complexities there. However, now the situation has become quite serious. We've seen violence around the Varanium port project that we have to talk about it. And so I'm giving up my diffidence. Also, I'm giving up my diffidence vis-a-vis pronouncing the name of the project. You know, we in the north struggle with some southern pronunciations and we get quite fittingly made fun of. So I have rehearsed it, but I haven't got it right. I know perfectly, but not as long as saying Vizhinjam. So I'll say Varanium port. Varanium port in Kerala. This port is about 16 kilometers from Trivandrum, right on India's southern tip, sort of southwestern tip. Almost about 16 kilometers from the city, 17 kilometers from Trivandrum Airport. Now, if this port comes up, then this will be the first major port in a very large part of the Indian western coast. Now, there is Cochin, and then beyond Cochin, as you go upwards, northward from Cochin, then you will come to Mangalore, and then you come to the entire Mumbai, the entire complex around Mumbai, that is Nhava Sheva, JNPT, etc., etc. And in between that, the new big port, probably the most modern port in India, that is Mundra port. Mundra port is owned by the Adanis. Now, the important thing with Varanium port also is that this is a private sector port. It is also being built by the Adanis. They had won this contract in a competitive bid, not now, but in 2015. Remember when a Congress-led government was in power in Kerala and the foundation stone of the project was led by then Congress Chief Minister Umman Chandy. Now there are protests, cases in the court, and this has come to violence. Now, you know what? We love to use that line, this happens only in India, right? When we see something really surprising, funny, interesting, unique, and we say, this can only happen in India. So we pick up that line from that song and say, this happens only in India. But you know, even within India, it takes a special state for something even more remarkable to happen. So there are remarkable things happening around this Varanium project that could have only happened in the state of Kerala. So this can happen only in India because India also has a unique state called Kerala. Because it needs a state like Kerala with its complexities, diversity, and also its own unique politics to achieve the following. Number one, so what are the things that Kerala has achieved now, which they say complete this story of this happens only in Kerala. So BJP and CPM come together. BJP and CPM, sworn enemies, come together, make common cause. CPM and Adani group come together. So all over the country, all the left forces, all the left spokespersons, all the left intellectuals, all the left media is saying, Narendra Modi has sold this country to Ambani, Adani. So Ambani, Adani are bad guys, Adani in particular. So because Adani is now seen to be rising and acquiring a lot of assets. So in this case, CPM and Adani have come together. So once again, this happens only in Kerala. Number three, CPM has come in support of heavy physical development, unmindful of what might be seen as environmental consequences. Almost everywhere else, they would make a big deal of that. So that is the other unusual thing that's happened. CPM, by the way, is in power in Kerala right now. And then you have the left media in the state of Kerala accusing the protesters against an Adani-owned project. Left media accusing the protesters against an Adani-led project of getting foreign funds to sabotage Kerala's development and by implication India's development. When did you read that before? Right? Where did you see that before? That left media is actually attacking any protesters against a mega infrastructure project for taking foreign money to stall national or a state's development. This happens only in Kerala. And finally, where else can Hindus and Muslims unite? Hindus and Muslims unite. In this case, all the groups of Hindus, OBCs, upper castes, Nayars, middle castes, everybody, all their organizations unite and make common cause with Muslims against who? Against Christians. So if you look at all this, you know that I'm not exaggerating when I use that line. This happens only in Kerala. Not all that has happened around this one project. So what is this project and why is it such a bone of contention? Now, I told you it's about 16 kilometers from Trivandrum. So see the Google picture. You will get an idea where it is. And we'll also show you some pictures, one from the project website and some again from some open sources. And you can see where this project is coming up. Now, this will be a very large port, very large modern port. And because it will be a greenfield construction, in fact, I read that also on the project's website. The project is called Virenium. I have to pause each time and try and get it as close to right, correct as possible. Virenium International Seaport Limited. Go to the website and you will see they tell you that, look, this is a greenfield project, so we can do with it what we want. So we can, instead of redeveloping an existing port, when you build a new port or a new project, you can do many things with it. This is right now a 7,525 crore project, $900 million. Maybe by the time it's completed, it will be $1 billion, and God forbid, I don't know which God's writ runs here, Christian, Muslim, Hindu. I know that there is only one God up there and I hope that God does justice. But the fact is that if these protests are further able to delay the project, what is 900 million today can become maybe $1.5 billion tomorrow or 2 billion. So maybe at some point become unviable. That's been the story of infrastructure projects in India. This project, after Uman Chandy, the Congress Chief Minister laid the foundation stone in 2015. This was to be completed by 2019, right? Nothing happened. Now the deadline has been put forward and there is an expectation that at least by 2024, this will be completed. But once again, with all these protests, we don't know what will happen. So these protests have seen a lot of people injured. These protests have seen the protesters mainly fishermen who happen to be Christian. And I told you just now that this is a case of Hindus and Muslims coming together fight against Christian groups. This is not a communal riot, but they've come up against Christian groups because Christian groups are opposing the project. Hindu and Muslim groups are supporting the project because they see it as development that will bring revenues and other infrastructure to Kerala. Now, this project, as of now, let's hope for the best and let's say this is 7,525 crore or $900 million project. This will have 30 berths, 30 large berths where the largest ships currently plying in the world shipping will be accommodated. Now, India has very limited capacity, if any at all, to accommodate what is called as Mega Max carriers. Now, what is Mega Max carriers? Now, the reason I love doing Cut the Clutter is that it makes me read up and understand things that otherwise I would have never bothered to learn anything about. Even if I saw a TV program going on about shipping, etc., I will switch channels and go to something else. Now, so Mega Max shipping. Now, you see, the bigger the ship, the larger the number of containers it can carry, because now cargo is mostly carried in container ships. So you have several categories of ships and I'm talking about large cargo ships. So let's begin with one large category, that is VLCS, very large container ships. Now, very large container ships, they will carry up to 10 to 20,000 TEUs. So what is TEU? What is this measure? That is 20 foot equivalent units, which means if a container is 20 foot, so how many can you put on the ship, right? So that is TEU, 20 foot equivalent units, T for 20 foot, E for equivalent, U for units. So 10 to 20,000 TEU is called very large container ships. Then greater than 20,000 TEUs, that will be called ultra large container ships. Now, when you start going higher than that, even ultra large would be called mega max, but mega max can go into much larger sizes, much, much larger capacities. For example, mega max 23, 399 meters long, that can be 20,000, a little plus 20,000 TEUs. Then you come to mega max 24, that is 23,500 TEUs. And then right now, the global shipping industry is building even larger ships. These are called Gigamax, that can go up to 27,000 plus TEUs, that is 20 foot equivalent units. And if they are carrying LNG, they can go up to 28,500 TEUs. You see now LNG, that is natural gas, liquefied natural gas, is now being traded heavily. The prices have gone up and a lot of countries need them, and particularly now with the sanctions on Russia, there seems to be a run on that kind of shipping. Now, India has very few ports right now that can accommodate this kind of traffic. This port will be able to do so. Now, there is other technical detail on the website of the project that you can read. If you understand this better, you can tell me what this means. It says, for example, there is availability of a 20-meter contour within 1 nautical mile from the coast. What I understand in my sort of innocence is that within 1 nautical mile of the coastline, you can get clear depth up to 20 meters, because heavier the ship, the deeper it goes below water. So it needs that much of the depth to navigate safely. So this port has that. Also, because it has the depth, it requires minimum dredging. Dredging means when you deepen a part of the sea or a river, that is the process of dredging. So this requires minimal dredging. What is it that the opposition is coming from? The opposition is coming from associations of fishermen who've been using this area, and they have a bunch of demands. Some have to do with the project, but they say, first of all, stop the project, right? Scrap the project, stop the project, do another fresh assessment, environment, other economic impact, etc., etc., which means the project will never get built. So that nobody is willing to accept. Then they say, first of all, you provide money for rehabilitation of those affected by erosion, sea erosion and coastal erosion. Again, the government says that whatever erosion is taking place, if at all, it's not taking place because of the project, it's happening because of climate change. Then they say there should be effective steps to mitigate the crisis. All right, that is a little bit of a platitude. Then there should be financial assistance to fishermen whenever there are weather warnings. Now that looks like something not really connected to the project, but you know, when you have a situation where you can make some demands, you make whatever demands you can. Then compensation for fishermen, for business they might lose because of this. Next, subsidized kerosene, because now there is a port, we may have to go deeper in the sea, so we may have to burn more kerosene in our engines and our boat engines to give us more subsidized kerosene. And then they want another fishing port to be dredged so they can use that better. Now, if you look at these demands, none of these looks like an impossible demand to fulfill, except that all of it begins with dump the project once. Now, the project, why is it that the CPM government in the state and the central government, the BJP government in Delhi, are on the same page in this one? And why is the local BJP working so closely together with the CPM on this one? Because a project like this is of vital importance to India. Economically, yes, because this will make India a transshipment hub. In fact, India is a very poor transshipment hub. A port like Colombo does enormously better. Singapore makes humongous amounts of money. Dubai, these are transshipment hubs in the world. So what is transshipment? Now, if you're sending, say, from country A to country E, you are sending say 2 containers full of motorcycles, but to country E you are not sending anything else. So a ship can pick up 2 containers for country E, 10 containers for country F, 5 containers for country D, 7 containers for country G, and so on and so forth, and that's how a big carrier ship gets filled. That ship can go to a major port in a country which may be needing a lot of those containers, which means in that country maybe half the containers on that ship will be offloaded, because that's a country with a huge demand by itself. The remaining ships can then go elsewhere, and this country then, again in this case a country like India, can load its own containers that will go somewhere else, right? But from this terminal, there may be ships going to point to country D or country E. So containers in this big ship, this big mega max ship, meant for those countries can be picked up and put on ships going from this major port to that country. That is transshipment. And that's where the country which has a port, which can accommodate these big ships, which has a lot of trade and which can provide transshipment services, earns a lot of revenue. Kiraya hai. This is rent. So you are leveraging your coastal assets by building a port. And once again, India is a humongous market. So India's own demands, both of imports and of exports, will need a lot of the shipping. They will make a lot of the shipping, this trade or this transportation by these huge carriers economically feasible, except that right now we lack those ports. And that's why we are being beaten everywhere. Now, a lot of India's goods, for example, come to the port in Colombo, and then they're offloaded onto smaller boats which bring that cargo into India. So Colombo it is which earns a lot of transshipment revenue from India. That is the reason India has been trying to also get a port in Colombo. Once again, the Adanis are there. That is also the reason India wants to build more ports on both its coasts, but in this case particularly on the western coast, because you know, on the eastern coast, large part of the eastern coast, seas are very shallow. That's why heavier ships cannot travel between India and Sri Lanka, because seas there on the Pok Strait are very, very shallow. And that's why, say about 15 years ago, the idea of what was called as Sethu Samudram project came in. Under the Sethu Samudram project, which by the way was a commitment in the Common Minimum Program when UPA came in, because it was a DMK demand, sea canal was to be dredged in this shallow sea, that is the Pok Strait. That was about 44.9 nautical miles, which translates into exactly 83.2 kilometers. So this was a deep water channel which would have come up through dredging of this sea, and that would have allowed heavier shipping to travel in this area instead of having to go all the way around Sri Lanka and do the chakkar at beyond Trincomalee and around, and then come into Chennai, Tuticorin and those ports. And also this would have taken down, this would have reduced some of India's transshipment costs. But you know, it didn't happen. And one of the reasons it didn't happen, there was a lot of environmental opposition, but there was also religious opposition, because this dredging operation would have also cut through what is known to be as Ram Setu. And that's, the supporters of Ram Setu went to Supreme Court, and finally the BJP came to power in 2021. This project was abandoned. So once again, India's dependence on Colombo continues. If Varenium comes up, then some of that will go down, and also this will become the most modern port on India's coastline. India has always been short of ports. I don't know if you would remember, and I don't know what age you are, but if you are about my age, and I don't know what's been happening subsequently, when you read about India's geography, there was always that section said, why does India have so few ports? And that section said, in my Hindi medium textbooks, it said, kyunki Bharat ka tat kata fata nahi hai. Because you don't have enough geographical features on India's coastline to enable more natural ports to come up. But you know what? Technology has changed. Engineering has changed. Trade has changed. Economies have become humongously bigger now. Trade is a much bigger part of anybody's economy than before. And that's why it's now possible to build more ports. And that's why the Sagarmala project is such an important project. And this is a very crucial part of that. Now, there is another phenomenon that we've seen in the south. And that phenomenon is some particular sections of Christian clergy or Christian church, particularly what is called as Latin Catholic Church, right? Or in this case, Kerala region, Latin Catholic Church. They've been opposing this project. In Tamil Nadu, because in South, in Tamil Nadu, we saw the same church or elements of the same church, the Latin Catholic Church, opposed the Kudankulam nuclear project, right? That diocese was based in Tuticorin. This one is in Trivandrum. And also the Sterlite copper plant, which unfortunately, and that's my opinion, I'm saying unfortunately, has been shut for a long time now. In fact, there were insinuations that effluents or whatever or releases from that plant were causing increased cancer cases in the vicinity. But we had sent our very good reporter, Mansi Phadke, who spent quite some time there and wrote a very, very solid, authentic story, not finding any evidence of increased cancer. I'm sharing a link of that story with you. But the fact is that plant has been shut since then, purely, entirely to the benefit of the Chinese, right? Because Chinese have taken that market and we are now importing copper from the Chinese, which we should have been exporting to them. That besides, there was also the Chennai-Salem expressway project. So it is elements of the same church on both sides of the southern peninsula who've been opposing these projects. So there is some church politics involved there, and that's where I said that it's Hindus and Muslims who've come together in confronting these church-led protesters. Now, this has led to some ugly situations also. V. Abdul Rahman, who is the fisheries minister of Kerala, he filed a case with the police because Father Theodosius de Cruz said really rude things about him, and he was then charged with promoting enmity between communities. And what did Father Theodosius say? He said, and I quote, "He is the biggest traitor." That is Minister Abdul Rahman. "He is the biggest traitor in the world. We thought he was the minister of fishermen. There is a terrorist in his name." Now, a Muslim name. And he said, "There is a terrorist in his name. Those who do not know how to hoist the national flag are calling us traitors." So the minister had called the protesters anti-national. So he's responding to that. Since then, Father Theodosius has apologized to the minister, but the minister has refused to accept the apology. He said, you can't just apologize and get away with this. So he wants to press his charges. State government, again, uncharacteristically, has filed criminal cases against senior members of the Christian clergy. So Father Theodosius de Cruz is one of them, but also Archbishop Thomas Neto and also Auxiliary Bishop Christu Raj. There are cases against them also. Church, on the other hand, is carrying out protest yatras. They carried out something called Jan Bodhna Yatra. They also set up a 17 and a half kilometer long human chain. So this is now an ongoing crisis in Kerala. And the bone of contention, as I told you, is this new port project, which in many ways will be the jewel of our southwestern coastline.